You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It is a day of mourning. We are certainly feeling the loss of so many lives. But in spite of it all, our God is still a good God. He reigns, he rules, and he super rules. And he's still worthy of our praise. So thank you so much for your kind invitation, and I'm delighted to be with you as you begin a new school year. Thank you to the praise team. Just such wonderful ways that you led us in praise this morning, and I'm grateful for that. Pray with me as we begin this morning. Father, as we approach you and approach your throne, speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, I pray that you would use me to give a word straight from your throne room. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to process what you have to say, and may we be transformed in your presence, that we give you the honor and the glory, for it's in the precious name of Christ Jesus, the Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about dreamers and dreaming, and I want to challenge you to make sure that you have a dream, a big dream, a big call from God, that he's given you the purpose and plan for your life. And that's why I chose this text of Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. We all know dreamers. We know people who peek into the future and they want to see what's possible. Those people who can envision a future of what it might be and think of ways to make dreams happen. They imagine possibilities for humanity that a lot of people just can't see. Dreamers are people that have spiritual eyes, not just natural eyes. They see into a supernatural world. You know dreamers. People like Dr. Martin Luther King, who had a dream on August the 29th, 1963, some 100 years after President Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation freeing the slaves, Dr. King stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. to describe his vision of America. And the dream they heard on the steps of that monument became the dream of a generation. That dream that all people, all races, all colors, all backgrounds share in America marked by freedom and democracy for all people. I love dreamers. Dreamers bring excitement and energy and electricity to the room. They bring hope and inspiration. And it wasn't unusual in the Old Testament for people to believe that God spoke to them and gave them revelation through dreams. We see that in the text today. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph dreamed that God would one day put him in a position of leadership. While I could imagine that Joseph couldn't possibly fully understand what he was dreaming about and what the Lord was showing him, God indeed was going to use Joseph and put him in a position to save a nation. Would be hundreds of years later when the nation of Israel would leave Egypt bound for the promised land. But God was planting a seed in a young man who was only 17 years old. What dream has God given you? What seed is he planting in you to save a nation, to save a dark and dying world? Are you dreaming? As you begin this school year, I wonder what you're dreaming about. We just made a point about Dr. King seeing into a supernatural world. That was an actual dream. When he went to the Lincoln Memorial that day, he had a different speech. And Mahalia Jackson encouraged him, "Martin, tell them the dream that God gave you." Dreamers can see into places and see things that sometimes people think you may be just a little bit off when you share that with them. God gave Joseph the opportunity to dream about the future and to take a peek into that world. You know, dreamers are not just idle lookers. They're not just staring into space. They see a world of abundant possibilities, limitless, which can't be accessed by the natural eye. I love dreamers. I love dreamers. Dreamers care about other people. They're other focused. They're not self-focused. Their dreams are very often about how will other people be helped and how might the world be better. They carry a really big heart for people. They can handle opposition and critics, those things that you'll get along your pathway as you begin to dream. They can use what's supposed to work against them and make it to their maximum advantage. Joseph didn't realize what he was about to do. He didn't know that a nation was going to be saved through him. That dream was not just for Joseph, it was for other people. And you know, that's why it's so important for us to spend time with God, to listen for him, to hear his voice. That's why we spend time in prayer and in his word, so we can hear his purpose and plan for our life. I love dreamers. I love being around dreamers. When I was 10 years old, and I know you probably say that was a long time ago, and it was, I dreamed of being a chemist. Now, you know, at 10, I had no idea what chemists did. I had no idea what a chemist was. I was influenced by a teacher in elementary school and by some role models in my church. But they told me something. They told me I could. And it may not sound like much to you, but that was a very lofty dream for a little black girl from the east side of Lexington in the early 60s. They influenced me. And I'm deeply humbled that I was able to live out that dream and began a career at IBM as a chemist. And I was living my big dream. I thought that was it. This was it. I was really, as they say, where I come from, in high cotton now. And I wonder if Joseph really realized the impact of his dream for himself or for others. You know, Joseph was only 17. God has purposes and plans for people that he calls at young ages, at your age. Joseph was probably younger than most people in the room. And all Joseph really knew from that dream was his 10 older brothers were bowing down to him. I can imagine what that conversation must have gone like when Joseph told them that dream. "Hey, guess what, guys? God's going to raise me up to be your leader." And I'm sure the brothers said, "Oh, yeah, we're waiting for that day." But the scripture tells us something quite different, right? It says that Joseph's own brothers hated him. They didn't want to hear about someone being raised up and elevated over them. But the fact remains that Joseph's dream did come true. In fact, Joseph was elevated over all of Egypt. Can you imagine that? A Hebrew slave who's elevated to be over all of Egypt. We serve a mighty big God. That's a long journey for a young man who has a dream at 17. What are you dreaming about? You know, sometimes we don't dream big enough. We get comfortable with a small dream. We get comfortable with what's right for us. I saw a poster once that says, "Dream so big that you're afraid to tell other people what you're dreaming about." Thank you for that. Sir Francis Drake wrote a poem. I'm going to give you part of it about small dreams. He wrote this: "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we dream too little. When we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord." You know, when I began IBM as a chemist, I had no idea I was dreaming too small. I was so excited. I mean, can you imagine? I started at IBM in the early 80s. Can you imagine the percentage of the population in America where African-American women were chemists? I can tell you it was very small, single digits for sure. But little did I know that God had more, that He was going to take me places and show me things as a global business executive that I couldn't have imagined on the east side of Ohio Street, of east side of Lexington, over on Ohio Street, a first-generation college student. I love dreamers. And you know, one of the characteristics, and there are many, that I love about dreamers is they don't give up when things get tough. Dreamers have courage and they have grit. When they find themselves facing obstacles, they don't give up. Joseph's journey towards his dream was not an easy one. It is not unusual for a dreamer to face suffering or obstacles. Your journey is going to be filled with bumps along the way. Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers. His brothers hated him. They wanted to hurt him. Joseph had done nothing to deserve that. You know, oftentimes life will seem unfair to you. You've done nothing to deserve it. And the payment for his dream was slavery. But God was with him. But God. Isn't that the key phrase to everything we do in life? But God. But God. Even though his journey wasn't easy, the Lord was with him. You see that throughout this entire story. So whether that was working as a slave in Potiphar's house, or being accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife, or being put in jail, the Lord was with Joseph. I can only imagine that it must have seemed like to Joseph when he was sitting in that jail that his dream was dead. And that's why it's important to dream and live with vision and purpose. Because sometimes, even when it seems like your dream's dead, it's not. You know, everyone ends up somewhere, but very few people end up somewhere on purpose. God calls us to live on purpose and with purpose. We were created with purpose. He tells us in his word, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but give you a hope and a future." God has a future and a plan and purpose for you. Vision is critical to our very survival. You know, the word vision comes from a Hebrew word, chazon, which means to dream or to have revelation. And without vision, without that big dream, people don't thrive. They don't grow. They just exist. They just come someplace and get a degree. They're just wandering. It's just day after day after day. but not moving with purpose or moving with a plan. In fact, the Bible tells us without vision or that big dream, people perish or they die. They die on the inside. Their spirits shrivel up. What's your big dream? What are you dreaming about? It appears Joseph's dream's dead, but that's not the case at all. He's sitting in that prison, and it may look like that God brought him disaster, but God made a way out. Joseph is gifted in interpreting dreams. Now, let me make a point to you here. When you get to places where it seems really tough and you're facing those obstacles and those challenges, I will tell you, I know what I'm talking about. God will give you what you need when you need it to move on to higher ground, to move on to different places. So, Joseph is called to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh. And once again, Joseph is elevated. He goes from being in prison to being over all the land of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. God was with him. You see, even when our dreams go off track, the most unlikely or impossible things come into the realm of possibilities. For God wants these dreams that he's inspired us with, that he's put inside of us, to reach their full potential. God was always with Joseph. He never walked away from him. When Potiphar's wife begged Joseph to sleep with her, Joseph never lost his integrity. He never lost his character. He didn't compromise his identity. When Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed kindness to him and granted him favor. And now Joseph is in charge of all of Egypt. God was with Joseph. Doesn't that make the difference? That the fulfillment of our dreams is a direct result of walking with the Lord, of being with him, becoming one with him. God really does make the difference. It's an important word of formation today as we walk out our dreams, that our relationship with God is more important than anything else that we could put in front of him. You are important to God, and don't you know that God wants to accomplish great things through you? We are in a place in our world, in a dark place. You just have to look at the news for a minute to know we need people of God. We need people of the church who will rise up and do something different in the world. Can I get an amen for that? God wants to do something great in this generation. He wants to do something great in you. What are you dreaming about? My daughter used to make a vision board every year, and she still may make one. I used to love going to her apartment and peeking at her vision board. She'd use that to keep her focus. And when Rebecca went to college, she told me that she dreamed of being an actress on Broadway. And I thought to myself, so does every other little girl in America dream of being an actress on a stage on Broadway. And when she graduated from college, right away she went to New York. And I remember the first time I went to visit her, my heart sunk. I mean, she was living in a shabby apartment. She was working as a waitress, and I was helping to pay for her rent. She had a dream. It wasn't my dream, but she had one. But she never gave up. And, you know, after 5 years of living in New York and doing the hard things, she did make her Broadway debut in Motown the Musical. And she's been working in Broadway ever since. The next year, I went to visit her, and she had a picture of a woman in a bridal gown on her vision board. And then she got engaged. I was starting to think, maybe I need to take up this vision board stuff. The next time I went to see her, she had a baby on the vision board. And it took a little while, But she and her husband had a beautiful baby boy this year, my first grandson. And I want to tell you that Rebecca and her husband are currently in Hamilton. She's living her dream. She wanted to be in the room where it happened, and she didn't want to miss her shot. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Her vision boards kept her grounded, and it kept her inspired and focused and on her journey. And that's why vision is important. It gives us purpose and passion. It keeps us from giving up when you reach those tough places. Here's my last point. My time's up. I'm going to take my seat. God gave Joseph a plan to collect all this grain during the abundant years in Egypt. Y'all going to be up here a minute. You know, I'm a Baptist preacher. We say that and we go on for about five more minutes. But y'all can come on anyway. And just as Pharaoh had dreamed. And here comes Joseph's brothers when the famine is in the land to get food. And when they come to get their grain, when they come to get their food, they bow down to the governor of Egypt. Y'all guess who the governor of Egypt is? Joseph. We begin to see the fulfillment of the dream. Dreamers have large hearts. Joseph received his family. He received his brothers. He forgave them. He said, listen, you didn't do this to me. God did. And God sent me ahead of you to save lives. Now, I know everyone in this chapel would do the same forgiveness for their brothers and sisters who sold them into slavery, who hated them and wanted to kill them. I'm sure that's right. But Joseph the dreamer said to them in Genesis 50, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what's now being done, the saving of many lives. Jesus did that on the cross, didn't he? When he was praying, he asked the Father to forgive those who were crucifying them. Dreamers have the capacity, a large capacity, to forgive when hard things happen. Now, this is it. Then I'll let you guys sing. I promise, this is it. This really is it this time. I want to say something about dream killers. You're going to meet people who will be just like Joseph's brothers and tell you you can't. They don't want to see you succeed. And you know, I still remember to this day, my high school counselor, I remember her name, Miss Woods, telling me I'd never go to Center College and I'd never be a chemist. She's wrong. She was wrong. She was wrong on both counts. And I remember when I joined IBM, my first manager, Brad Beach, said, you know, maybe one day you could be a quality control manager. And I ended up being his executive. He was wrong. What am I telling you? Be careful of dream killers. People who want to limit your capacity, don't let them do it. Surround yourself with people that'll support you. I hope you're dreaming big. I hope you have a dream. If you don't have a dream, get before God and ask him to put that purpose and that plan in your life and give you something to dream about. I want to encourage you to do that as you begin a new school year. You can trust that Jesus will fulfill everything that he's put in your heart and in your spirit. You know, the Bible says that he who began a good work in you will fulfill it. So may God bless you as you begin this new school year. And I pray that the Holy Spirit gives you big dreams. Let me pray for the room as we end today. Father, we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. So, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that in this room today, you'll stir up leaders that will change nations, that will change the world. Lord, that you would give them dreams, big dreams, about bringing your kingdom to this earth. Lord, I pray that you would give them dreams, big dreams, to look to Christ. Big dreams, God, of loving you, loving each other. Big dreams, God, of your purposes and your plans that you have for the world that you created. So will you do it in this room today, God, just like you did for Joseph? God, will you put those of us that are older around these young people to encourage them, to be their armor bearers, to help them on the journey? And so, Holy Spirit, now as we pause, have your way in this room. Lord, for the person in this room that's not sure about why they're here, energize them, God, with new vision. For the one who's been calling out to you, asking for purpose and plan and direction, would today you answer them? Let them hear your voice so clear. Have your way in us today, God. We bless your name and we give you honor and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.